everybody, and welcome to the Pitching In NPL show. And you join us for the last weekly show of March. Confusingly, out on the 1st of April. Makes no sense, does it, dear listener? But here to make sense of it all, James Hayes joins us. Hello, James. How are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all good. Later in the show, we're going to be joined by Northeast football writer Mark Carruthers for a fixture preview. And excitingly, I can exclusively reveal at the start of the show that those fixtures we'll be talking about later will be the first fixtures of April 2022. I don't know how we've got to this point, but we're here nearly in the closing straight of the season. Now, let's go to the results from last weekend, James. And we had some big results, didn't we? And important results. Firstly, the top two both won on Saturday. Witton Albion 0, Buxton 3, South Shields 2, Stafford Rangers 0. Firstly, James, the Buxton win at Witton Albion. Witton really needing the points and not getting it on Saturday, which I think maybe they would have expected against the league leaders. But a comprehensive result, that, for Buxton.
Indeed so. And again, Buxton, the last couple of weeks now, have just been nearly unstoppable. Given to the three draws that they've had in this impressive run. Like I say, it's now 11 unbeaten and still chasing down that record of, from the start of the season, the unbeaten run at this moment in time. Moving on to South Shields a little bit. Again, it is looking like it's going to be a two-horse race now for the title. Comprehensive win there for against the Stafford Rangers, who again have been on form quite a lot recently. Buxton and South Shields, it's going to take a lot to stop either side at this moment.
Well, let's have some post-match reaction now from that win for South Shields last weekend over Stafford Rangers. Here's the post-match reaction from South Shields manager Kevin Phillips.
Kevin, you mentioned you wanted a similar performance to last week without the sloppy errors. Is that what you got to do?
Yeah, I'm absolutely delighted with, obviously, the result. I just said to him in there before the game that we're playing against the team, and I said in the programme notes, who's got the best away record in the league. And I think also coupled with the attention we've had on the day, with obviously Football Focus being here, we could quite easily got carried away with the occasion, but just gave them a few reminders beforehand that, you know, we've got a football match to win. We're up against a very good side, very well organised side, and we have to have a top performance. And was it a top performance? It was a fantastic result. I thought we started the game a little bit sloppy, but then our intensity of our play got better. I think the movement, the options for players was better, we ran harder, and we finished the first half very, very strongly. Of course, got our lead, and you know the half-time talk was pretty much the same. Can we raise the levels yet again? Because we felt they probably would tire with the game Tuesday and the travelling, but to be fair to them, they didn't. And we had to find another way of winning, and obviously getting the second goal was huge for us, Cedric getting that. And then we had to dig in the last 10 minutes. And I just said to him in there, there's all different ways of winning football matches. It's not going to be pretty all the time against a good quality side who just put us under pressure. But, you know, we defended a box with our lives to a man. You know, people were putting themselves on the line. You know, Miles was coming out, catching things, being dominant, clearing our lines. And that's another way of winning football matches and seeing the game out. So I thought, you know, overall, it was a very, very good team performance.
A clean sheet of D as well, it's a very welcome thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm absolutely. That's the first thing I said to him in there. I just said, what am I most pleased about today? And I opened it up to them. And of course, being John Shaw, being a defender, he said a clean sheet, and I was. You know, you can't underestimate what a clean sheet does to a squad. And, you know, obviously the two goals potentially could come down to goal difference at the end of the season. So it's huge that we keep the clean sheet. But just for their confidence, I'm delighted more for them that they've battled. They haven't conceded a goal, they defended a box for their lives, and you know we win the game.
You mentioned the occasion before, obviously Football Focus being here, more than 2,500 people here, it was a really good day to be involved in, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was cracking, you know, and we thank Football Focus, of course, for picking us. And you know, I said to the players beforehand, we can't get distracted by that. You know, it was great for them to come, but as a manager, you know, you'd rather not have it. But yeah, I understand for a football club, it's a great, you know, great bit of exposure for us. Because we know that millions and millions of people watch the programme, and you know, I just said, let's cut the day off with a win and send these supporters away happy, and we've done that today. So, you know, five games to go, and we'll again, you know, I'll look after the lads this week. We'll have plenty of rests, and then we'll train when we need to, and then we'll be you know, another away game next week. So, you know, I think I don't need to highlight the importance, you know, and our away record isn't particularly great of late, you know, but we'll go into that game full of confidence, that's for sure.
Just finally, a word for all the fans today. Obviously, they came out in the numbers again on non-league day, the biggest home crowd of the season.
Yeah, it's magnificent again. You know, it's just, you know, I wouldn't say football surprises me, but, you know, for them to turn up in their droves, of course the weather brings a lot of people out, but it was a magnificent, you know, turnout. Atmosphere was excellent, and I can't stress enough how much it helps the players. You know, whether you play in front of 2,500 or 80,000, it then half make a massive difference. So, yeah, again, you know, we've sent them away happy.
Kevin Phillips there speaking with South Shields YouTube channel following that 2-0 victory for his side over Stafford Rangers last Saturday. And a link to South Shields YouTube channel is available in the description to this podcast. 0-0 between Matlock and Scarborough Athletic on Saturday at the Flamingoland Stadium. Again, if you probably asked both managers what they were expecting, a draw would probably be the result. So I know Matlock and Scarborough have dropped back in this title race, but they were always going to drop back, weren't they, after this last weekend's round of matches. It's now, can they get back to winning ways again this weekend? But a 0-0 draw there. At the same time, Warrington picked up a 2-0 win over Radcliffe, and that means the gap between Matlock in third and Warrington Town in fifth is 4 points. And I should say Warrington do have a game in hand, which they'll be playing on Tuesday away at Baseford. So we're going to know a lot more, aren't we, about this playoff race and outside title race maybe after this next set of results. But Warrington certainly not doing themselves any harm last Saturday with that victory against Radcliffe.
No, and again, another dominant display there from Warrington. He sat down in the second half and pretty much ran away with the game a little bit there.
Well, let's hear more about the mood at Cantilever Park now. And it's a big welcome back to the show to the manager at Warrington Town. Here's Mark Beasley. Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us. And before we get to the running, just a big congratulations for that victory over Radcliffe last Saturday. How was it?
Yeah, it was a tough game. I think any game in this league, which I sound like a broken record, maybe, because I say to the local guide, the local press guide in Warrington, it's a tough game. And to win on the road, a good win. So, we were happy. We performed better, much better than we did the week before. Still stuff we must do a bit better, but, you know, to come away with a 2-0 and a clean sheet was a good win.
And you speak about the Ashton match. I mean, how impressed were you with the squad for bouncing back? Because we are entering that nervy period, aren't we, of the running. So you must be pleased with the resilience of the squad to bounce back the way it did against Radcliffe.
Yeah, we had a poor spell against Ashton, 25 minutes, and they, you know, thoroughly deserved the three goals. And once you go 3-0 down in any game, whether you're home or away, you're gonna struggle to come back. And they deserve to win the game. But we've got to be better as a team, not to go through periods of the game like that, because you give yourself a mountain to climb, and it doesn't matter who you're playing, because there's a lot of teams on good form at the moment in our league. And it's important that you treat every game really with the respect that it deserves.
Now, Matt, the last time we spoke, I was trying to, as I normally do with managers, trying to get you to talk a bit further on down the line than you'd possibly have liked, and you quite rightly just straight batted everything back to me. But, you know, as we enter April now, I mean, how important is that level of concentration, you know, in the dressing room and on the training pitch, that you don't get too carried away and it is all about the next game?
I think it's vital. I think we've set an environment where we're not really bothered about other results. Of course, you know what the scores are at the end of the game and how it affects you, but you can't work on how other teams do. You've got to work on, you know, what you can do. You can only work on what's in our dressing room. And, you know, when Micklover on a really good form, they're playing really well. I watched them last week. We got a report on them, and they're playing some really good stuff. They're well coached. They've got a really good manager, and you can see what they're trying to do. It's clear. So Saturday, as you just said, Ben, you know, you're taking each game that comes. Of course you are, because Saturday's a really big game for us, because they're a good team and they're playing really well. And it, you know, we had this 2 weeks ago and we played Ashton at home. We're on a really good run of form, and they turned us over. So it's important we learn from their mistakes and we're in a better position to play.
Now, speaking of the Mikulova game, and we should just throw in there as well the Basford United match, because that's the game in hand. And at the same time on Tuesday, Morpeth will also be playing, and that's basically all the games in hand there being played in and around the playoff position. So really, really important couple of games, especially for yourselves, Mikulova and Basford. What's your thoughts on the overall playoff race at the moment, and have you ruled out going maybe even a bit higher in the playoffs, because it's a couple of wins this week, and you could be a lot more comfortable inside the playoffs and challenging Matlock and Scarborough above you.
Well, you don't rule anything out, do you? 6 games to go, that's 18 points. So there's a lot of teams still vying for them playoff spots. I think it's tightened up a little bit, but I think, you know, my view on it is, as I keep saying, anyone can beat anyone. Anyone can go on a little run. I think if you go on a little run of 4 or 5 wins, I think you'll get in there, even if you're 8th or 9th or you're 2nd or 3rd. I think it's really open. It's good for the league. It's good, really, because there's that many teams trying to achieve something. And the teams, if you like, on paper, have not got much to play for, are playing really, really well. So I would like to be a betting man on results in our league.
And we first spoke, Mark, when you first took over the role and you know, moving up from assistant to manager. And we spoke about, you know, the challenges of that handover and carrying on that legacy of, you know, getting into the playoffs. And, you know, here we are a few months later in the playoff race, and Warrington in 5th position, very much involved. So what's the difference between, you know, previous seasons where you've been the assistant manager? What's the difference between that role you had then and this role you have now as the gaffer, as the manager? I mean, is it any different or is it similar? Or
I think it's a bit different, yeah, because ultimately the manager is the person who, you know, makes the final decision. It's the sort of final voice, if you like. But I think, you know, me and Paul work really well together regarding everything, and I've learned that from him when I've stepped up one, and I've took a lot from Paul, and Dave's doing a lot of what I used to do. So in regards to that, I think that, you know, the transition's been quite smooth. But, you know, it's a different voice, different ideas, it's different, you know, little things are all different, if you like, loads of little different things, but nothing major changes. But like any time a manager leaves, and things will be a little bit different, and me just sort of stepping up one, if you like, is slightly different. But I wouldn't say it's any different than being assistant, because you still want the same outcomes.
And final question, Mark, just about the running, really. And, you know, we've touched upon Mikulova, we've touched upon Basford. I'm going to go a bit further. You know, Stafford Rangers at home, Africa Coles away, Witten Albion at home, and finishing off with Matlock and maybe in the playoffs as well. So, I mean, how much are you looking forward to the twists and turns and all the permutations and everything else that's going to be going on? What's your thoughts on this closing month that's coming up?
I think it's good that with 6 games to go, we've got something to play for. You know, we sat down in the summer, and I know Paul was in charge of the chairman and that, and it was, let's make sure we've got something to play for towards the end of the season. And we're at that stage of 6 games to go. We're well in the hunt of achieving something, so that's a good sign. I think you're right, there'll be definitely twists and turns, and at times, you know, you're going to have, maybe results don't go your way within your own performance. You just got to dust yourselves down and go again, because, you know, from this point onwards, it's a small season, a 6-game season. We've got to try and finish as high as we can in these next 6 games to make sure we're up in the top 5.
Matt Beasley there, manager of Warrington Town, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. Back to the results from last weekend. Warrington picking up a win away at Radcliffe. Could Whitby respond? Whitby did respond with their own 2-0 win away at Grantham Town. However, Whitby did play their midweek game on Tuesday away at Stalybridge Celtic, and Stalybridge Celtic beat them by 2-1. So one step forward, one step back for Whitby. They could have been in the playoffs, couldn't they, with a more positive result at Bowerfold on Tuesday. But Stalybridge, James, they've had a good week, haven't they? Beating Africa Coles on Saturday by 0-0 as well. So last week, I think they were in 20th, weren't they? Now they're up to 13th. and I'm going to say it, one win away from staying up, really, because I don't think anyone's going to catch them on 48 points, surely. So, been a good week for Stalybridge. Well, let's have some post-match reaction from that brilliant victory for Stalybridge Celtic on Tuesday night. Should say, Conor Falls scoring pretty much near towards the end of that game in added time to take all 3 points over Whitby. Let's have some post-match reaction now from Bowerfold shortly after the final whistle. Here's Simon Howarth speaking with Stalybridge Celtic's YouTube channel.
Simon, congratulations. 2-1 win at home to Whitby and we got the goal very, very late.
Yeah, we did. We were due a sort of late win and it was a great header from Conor, to be fair. We had a couple of set pieces and we knew we were deep into injury time. I just said to Brogues, make sure these are the last plays of the game. You know, we'll try and get the winner, but we don't lose from here. Put the first one in, they've defended it, and then Brogues has drilled a great ball in. But what a header. You know, the kid's just flown back today from Northern Ireland duty and it's a bullet header and we're all made up. But I thought we thoroughly deserved it.
We looked threatening from set pieces, didn't we? We had obviously Conor, Raoul and Derek. Derek hit the bar just a couple minutes before as well.
Yeah, I thought we were very good first half. I thought we totally dominated. And then we started the second half well. Charlie's hit the bar. Derek's hit the crossbar, so we were worthy winners. But them being a good side in six, they had a spell for about 20 minutes, 25 in the second half, and they got their goal for probably their only real shot on target, which was disappointing for us. But great character for us that we weathered the storm a little bit, came back and finished the stronger, and we had that bit of luck, which I said, you know, if you keep playing well and doing the right things in this division, because you're always in the game, you'll get games that go your way late on. And I think back to Ashton, where we felt really robbed, we've gone and got ourselves a late winner today.
So when they did equalise, the lad's head didn't drop and we carried on and persevered and got a goal.
Yeah, it was important. You know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, we might have gone down our heads and we lost it. We didn't. We came back stronger and we managed the game well, really. They didn't create anything else after that. You know, my worry was that they're going to go and win it, but they didn't. And if anything, we had a few half chances and then obviously the set piece and the goal. So thrilled for the lads and you know, thrilled for everybody involved in the club. We really deserved it. And, you know, you've been watching us of late. We've not been that bad, really. And we played better tonight than we did against Mickleover. We certainly deserve something against them. And you know, we've been doing the basics and working hard, and it's just started to turn the corner for us, thankfully.
It's another home game on Saturday. I mean, the atmosphere and the mood, it's been lifted, hasn't it?
Yeah, we just have to keep going, and you know, we add to that. And like I said, we've got a selection headache. We've gone from Warrington, where we couldn't field a team, to Saturday, thinking Josh will be back, Killer will be back. What do we do to pick a team? And Connor's come on and done that, so we've got a real selection headache. We want to get as many points as possible. I think we're 13th now, which shows how tight the league is. And we'd love to get north of 50, whilst I'd like to give a few people a chance and a game if possible. But we want to keep picking up points whilst doing that. And there's a few lads in there like Connor and Jake and Ethan and young Matty Jones that probably deserve it more than a few that have had a lot of chances. So we'll have a look and we'll keep going. And like I said, we'll enjoy this week and the next few games now, because we'll probably give ourselves enough breathing space to do that. But, you know, anyone that comes tonight, I think it was a really good performance. I thought on the pitch, you know, the pitch is really difficult to play on. And I thought we played some really good football, and you know, lads were committed and they played for the badge and the shirt tonight, and you know, the club should be proud of them and the supporters should be proud of them.
Stalybridge Celtic manager Simon Howarth there speaking with Stalybridge Celtic's YouTube channel after that 2-1 victory for his side over Whitby Town on Tuesday evening. A link to Stalybridge Celtic's YouTube channel is available in the description to this podcast. But still a long way to go with regards to the playoff race. Whitby 2 points outside the playoffs now. Warrington do have a game in hand. Whitby to Scarborough, which I know many Whitby fans would be interested in, is 5 points as we head towards the month of April. Right, let's talk about Morpeth, James, because Morpeth have been 10th, 11th, there or thereabouts for a while. They pounced this past week. A 2-0 win over Ashton United. SC drawing 3-3 with Mickleover. Enough to see Morpeth leapfrog over everybody and get themselves up to 7th. Now 5 points from Warrington Town. 3 points behind Whitby. Morpeth do have a game in hand over Whitby. So Morpeth back involved, James, I'm going to suggest. Not that they're ever out of it.
Yeah, indeed. So, and I think I said last week that it was going to be with Ashton United, they had a great opportunity to, if they got a result there, to be in the playoff race themselves. And I think Morpeth must have listened, and they obviously shut the door right on them. Ashton's season's pretty much, I'd say, it's complete now at this moment in time. But yeah, with Morpeth there, the remaining fixtures too, it's completely in their hands. Like I say, the fact they've got the Matlock FC, Bamber, and Scarborough to play in the next few weeks, They've put themselves right back into this.
Well, let's hear more from Morpeth Town now. And it's a big welcome back to the show to the manager at Craig Park. Here's Craig Lynch. Well, Craig, a big welcome back to the show. And first things first, big congratulations for that brilliant victory over Ashton United. They've been in a bit of form recently. Very, very tricky. A good win. How was your afternoon on Saturday?
Yeah, we were excellent on Saturday. Ashton are in great form, like you said, coming into the game, and we knew it was going to be a difficult one. But after the first 10 minutes, we settled into the game, and I said after the game, no disrespect to Ashton, because I got a lot of time for them and the manager, but it could have been 5 or 6. I thought personally their keeper had pulled off some terrific saves, but we were just excellent on the day. And it's been at a good time. That's four wins in the last 5. So it sets us up for the last 6 games.
And how much were you pleased with the reaction as well? Because I do have to bring up the Lancaster result. Lancaster, like Ashton, really, you know, similar trajectory, just with an eye on the playoffs from afar, looking to get some momentum going. You know, a good 1-0 win for them. Could have gone a bit nervy, so you must be pleased with that side of things, that you just ploughed on through and got the 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, the Lancaster game was, as I've said to numerous people, I was disappointed with the manner in which we conceded. But look, Lancaster play their pitch to start with, but never mind the pitch, the formation, we played very well, and there was nothing really in the game. Look, we had a lot of the ball, we get the ball forward quickly. And I would have been very happy with a 0-0 draw, to be honest. We defended very well, and as I said, put us under a lot of pressure, but the goal from our point of view was poor. So I was a little bit disappointed, but not overly. I know it was obviously a loss and I don't like getting beat, but I thought if we could cut out little bits like that where we could get up and mark quicker and stop shots quicker, I knew we'd be all right. And like the games weren't in the home, Mickleover at home, Ashton at home, we're very strong at home, with only losing to Nantwich in the league since I've took over. And our home form's been excellent. I mean, we've only got 2 out of 6 at home, so we've got 4 big away games coming up. So it's about the mentality and desire of everyone involved, management and players now, to get us through these 4 away games.
Now, Morpeth for developing a bit of a reputation since joining this division of late runs. And, you know, you've been 10th or thereabouts for a while. And all of a sudden, the last few weeks, you started to creep up on everyone. And here we are. You're not too far behind Whitby. You've got that game in hand on Tuesday night as well. So you're coming good at the right time. It's just about keeping it going now, essentially, isn't it? Easier said than done.
Yeah. To be honest, you're right. It's a big ask. It's a big ask from where we were. I mean, everyone gets a bit giddy now. We're 7th. Like, I keep reminding a lot of people, like, my first job when I took over was to keep us in the league. And now we're getting excited about the playoffs, which is fantastic. But look, if we manage to get in the playoffs, I think it's a massive, massive well done to the lads. I think it's going to be a massive test. It's going to be a massive challenge. I'm under no illusions that the teams above us, Warrington, Matlock, Scarborough, they've been up there all season. Matlock thinks being in the top 3 for the whole season. And we can really put the pressure on them tomorrow by going down and beating them. But look, they've only won 1 in 12, but they draw a lot of games because they're very good at the back. And I've watched a lot of the videos and they're creating chances. And I always say that if you're creating chances but not scoring, you're not far off. And that's what they've been like, I think, watching them. So it's going to be a difficult game. But look, I've said to the lads that we can only concentrate on us. And if the results go for us, great. But as long as we put ourselves in a position where if we don't make it to the playoffs, we've got no regrets for the last 6 games.
Now, I think I've been doing this show now for about 8 years, I think. It might be 7, but there or thereabouts. And I've come accustomed to trying to get managers to commit to further on down the line when it comes to fixtures and that kind of thing. And managers often say one game at a time and all that, Ben, back in your box. But when it comes to your running, I do have to bring it up, because to say it's in your own hands would be generous, but also a bit accurate as well, because you're taking on Matlock, as you said. You've got FC United as well, Bamber Bridge and Scarborough. So is it useful to be taking on teams who are also competing for those playoffs or not so much?
Well, I've said every week, I get asked obviously off our media guys for a comment on teams. And I say every week, I feel a bit boring, but there's no easy game in the league. But I believe that's true. And it's a difficult one. Like I don't think any team will down tools, because knowing what lads are like, we go out and do the best regardless. So I think everyone's going to have a hard run. I said a few weeks ago to the lads that, look, there's going to be ups and downs, there's going to be twists and turns, and I think we've seen that last on Tuesday night. Like, Tuesday games are hard games. Like, Whitby conceded in the last minute. Bamber Bridge conceded two when we were 2-0 up. Matlock's due 0-0 with Radcliffe, who were on a bad run. So there's always going to be a result. I think if we don't get anything off Matlock, the big thing is that we don't drop our heads and think it's over, because there will be something that happens. Matlock's still got to play Buxton. Warrington's got Basford away next Tuesday night, which is a difficult place to go on a Tuesday. And I think for our running, Scarborough, FC United at home, hard games. Bamber Bridge, Matlock away, hard games. Witten are fighting for relegation. Yeah. And then Atherton, last game of the season, isn't a great place to quiver. But I think everyone, like you said, we've been doing it for 8 years and everyone says that. Like, yeah, I would never disrespect the team by saying, oh, it's going to be, we've got a good run. Look, we're in a good place, and we're not doing too much wrong. But you know what it's like, as you said, you've done it long enough that there's freak results. So we've just got to keep trying to do the basics, what we've done well since I've took over, and hopefully, as I said, we finish the season strongly, and if we get in the playoffs, I'll be absolutely delighted. And if not, at least we can hold our heads high.
And final question, Craig. I'm glad you mentioned Atherton, Coles and Witten, because that was going to be my next question, because they're the proper banana skins, aren't they? And as you said, it is another cliche, but there are no easy games in this league. It's a fact. And we've seen many teams struggle at Atherton, Coles and at Witten. So, yeah. And with that regard, Craig, final question. How much are you looking forward to this closing month and all the twists and turns and the permutations and journalists and people like me asking you about future games and that side of things? How much are you looking forward to this last month?
Yeah, a lot. Like I said, when I took over, we were bottom and we were thinking, right, can we try and claw on to the bottom of the pack? And then we got to there and we thought, right, can we try and get mid-table? It'd be fantastic mid-table. And then we got to mid-table and we were thinking, all right, great, can we get in just in around the playoffs? Now we're there with six games to go. So, well, I haven't set the players any objectives until just before the Warrington game when we played them at home. But like for the staff looking in, we were looking to see where we could take it. And as I said, my first task was to keep us in the league, and now we're getting giddy around playoffs. So the last six games are going to be fantastic. I'm glad we're involved. We've got 5 points to make up, but it's still doable. It's still doable. 18 points on hand for us to get. And as I say all the time, we'll be giving it our best shot to give maximum points, just like all the other teams will be. So it's fantastic. It's fantastic that Buxton and South Shields have got a battle for top of the league. And then you've got the teams in the playoffs that are battling to keep the playoffs. Then you've got 4 or 5 teams, including us outside the playoffs, who are all sitting there going, win a couple of games and we in the playoffs. So it's fantastic. Nothing's done yet. And it's going to be a great end of the season for whatever teams are involved in it. And hopefully it's us.
Craig Lynch there, manager of Morpeth Town, joining us here on the Pitching in NPL show. So Morpeth very much involved, and as James alluded to, and as I said in that interview there, Morpeth with a run-in which could be described as tricky and difficult, but also could be described as, well, if you win those games, you've probably done it. So all starts this weekend with Matlock away. Bamber Bridge, though. Bamber Bridge, a 2-2 draw on Tuesday night at home to Michelover. That followed a 1-0 win at Basford United. So 4 points for Jamie Milligan's side this past week. Sees them up to 8th. 5 points from the playoff, James. Just when some people probably thought, oh, Bamber Bridge, that's probably them out of the playoff race now. They've got themselves back involved again. Same number of points as Morpeth. They're contenders still.
That Morpeth game on the 16th is going to be crucial to decide basically who's going to be in the playoff race for the last week of the season. But Bamber Bridge have got a few players coming back, and they've made a couple of loan signings before the transfer window last week as well. So they're going to be fresh in their mind for that little bit of a run.
So Bamber Bridge in 8th, FC United in 9th, a 3-3 draw away at Michelover. A bit of a thriller in Derbyshire, actually, if the truth be known, last weekend. Some cracking goals scored. But 6 points now, the gap for FC United to the playoffs. Warrington and Morpeth having games in hand as well.
Similar sort of situation with Bamber Bridge. You've got to beat Morpeth to get into the playoffs, I think, now. I mean, again, you go back to Michelover for a second. What a great week they had to come back into the games they have been doing, playing in great football the way I've done, and get themselves out of a little bit of relegation fight. Again, I think a lot of teams who, especially in the playoff race at the moment, who've got to still go to Mikulova, are going to be a little bit worried now. Well, play to Mikulova.
Lancaster City, a 1-0 win for them on Saturday at home to Nantwich Town. Lancaster, 6 points from the playoffs. Now, we can't say FC United are not involved when they're 6 points from the playoffs, but Lancaster, I've got a bit of momentum behind them, haven't they? Whereas FC United have kind of lost, won, drew. Lancaster have just been winning recently. It's on, isn't it? After last week's interview with Mark Felt, I think it's definitely on. I don't see how anyone can say that they've not got a chance. Particularly as well, when you look at the running, the only trouble is they've got Buxton away this weekend. But if they win that game, James, what happens then? What do we say then about Lancaster?
Sort of words out of my mouth there. I think Roy Shaw used to say quite a lot. If you're on form, it takes a lot to try and dethrone you at this moment in time. So again, you look at the likes of Stafford, Scarborough, anyone going up there is having a difficult task to try and get over him at this moment in time. And the Buxton match is going to be a big ask of what they're going to do. Let's not forget that Lancaster did beat South Shields a couple of weeks ago to knock them off the top of the table. So
that's the top half of the table. That's all the results involving everyone from Aston United up. Let's just cover off a couple of results from down the lower half of the table. Firstly, Hyde United 1, Gainsborough Trinity 0. Big, big result that one for Hyde United, and sees them leapfrog over Gainsborough. Basford have dropped down to that third bottom spot in the league table. 10 points the gap between Basford and Witton Albion. Witton Albion, incidentally, with a 0-0 draw away at Atherton Colls. So when we look at the lower half of the table, we touched upon it earlier with Stalybridge, James. Stalybridge in 13th. Then there's Atherton Colls, Mickleover, Nantwich, Hyde United, Gainsborough, Radcliffe, Basford down to 20th, all separated by just 4 points. So it's going to change a lot, I think, over the coming weeks. I don't necessarily think anyone's going to stretch the legs too much and get themselves away from this tussle. But as long as they all keep winning and Witton Albion don't win, then it's okay, I guess, for these teams.
Yeah, as things going on, Radcliffe, even though got a good point against Matlock on the midweek fixtures, the form's not been the greatest at the moment. Gainsborough picking up good wins at a time. I mean, obviously Hyde, great form picking forward. Basically just need one win really to really kickstart their season, and they're over that point of game mark at this moment too. But at the same time, you look at Winston Albion's result, yeah, that point against Southampton was a great one. If Winston gets a bit of form, maybe there will be a bit more of a threat, and that result against Southampton, as we mentioned before, with Basically puts them 10 points behind. So it gives that little bit of hope towards them, but it's going to be a tough ask if we can get out of that now.
Well, that's all the results from last week. As James mentioned, Matlock Town 0, Radcliffe 0. A good result for Radcliffe, actually, on Tuesday night at Causeway Lane. A good point there to see them lift themselves out of that 20th place and up to 19th. But still going to be a bit topsy-turvy, I think, in the coming weeks for those teams down in the lower half. But James Hayes, big thank you for joining us on this week's show. Just before you go, just a quick plug for the social media channels. Lots of action this weekend. How can people keep across it all?
I say this as the snow just starts falling down quite heavily outside my window as well. You got Facebook, Official Northern Prem.
It's snowing now.
Facebook, Official Northern Premier, Twitter, Instagram and TikTok, Northern Premier League. And keep, obviously, if you're listening to this on the Friday, you've still got 2 days left to put your nominations in for the Supporters Player of the Year voting. All the rules are on all them pages as well, but the main thing is you've got to make sure you use the hashtag on Twitter, and you're posting on the correct post on the other three platforms as well.
Well, big thank you to James Hayes for joining us. You have a lovely weekend, James, and catch up next week for the monthly review show. Yes, it's back.
Yeah, Ben. Thank you.
Well, a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show, but it's now time to gaze at the future. And let me tell you about the future, everybody. This weekend's matches take place on the 2nd of April. That's right, we're in the home straight now. The last proper month of the season. And joining me, it's Mr. Proper himself from the northeast of England, football journalist. So welcome back to the show, to Mark Carruthers. Hello, Mark, how are you?
I'm good. Looking forward to a hectic month, and I dare say, quite an eventful month as well.
How did we get to April, though? Seriously, when did that happen?
I'm not sure we have. I don't think we have. I think it's an illusion. It's just we've lost all sense of time with COVID and everything that's gone on, and it's November. Hence the snow.
Don't say that, Mark. I know a lot of managers who are looking forward to after May, after this month, and getting on their holidays. So don't take them back in time. But anyway, we are recording this bit of the show, incidentally, speaking of time travel, on the 30th of March. And it's a Wednesday. And it's daylight. Great.
As I was saying there, it's also snowing outside my window. So
is it?
Yeah, really.
Really?
It is absolutely snowing outside my window. So, hence why I think it's actually November.
So. Let's do a disclaimer then. Do check outside your window on Saturday before setting off to your match. I can't believe I'm saying that. Right, okay. This weekend, let's talk about these matches. League leaders Buxton, 2 points clear up at the top. There's not many games in hand in and around the playoffs. Only Warrington and Morpeth have got games in hand now. Everyone else has played 37 games. Those two sides played 36. So that is all out of the equation now when it comes to the title race. Buxton, 2 points clear of South Shields. Let's talk about the league leaders. Buxton, their next match, hosting Lancaster City. And Mark, we had another Mark on the show last week, Mark Fell. After that interview, I thought to myself, I said in that interview, you're back in this. After the interview, I thought to myself, they really are. And after last week's results, I thought to myself, no, they really, really are. This is a tough game, this one, for Buxton this weekend. And, if Lancaster win this, they really, really, really are involved, aren't they?
They really, really, really are.
Four. You should have done four. It was four.
I know. I lost count. I mean, the thing with Lancaster is, I think what Mark Fell's done really well, he's made them very, very difficult to beat. They don't concede a lot of goals. I think it's only one goal in the last five. I think I did a little bit of research earlier on to try and help. But I think they couldn't have scored a goal against Stafford, was it? Won the last five. So they are going well in that sense. Three of the last four games have been nil wins. So this one could be a tricky one for Buxton. You are right, but I look at Buxton, you look at the form they're in and the fact that, you know, they are scoring a lot of goals themselves. It is a tricky one, but again, I think Buxton, given their form, given the obvious motivation they have to keep winning, I think they'll edge this one.
If Buxton do edge that game, then that takes us to South Shields, who themselves have got a tricky game this weekend, away at Gainsborough Trinity. We know how good Gainsborough's home form has been this season. We kind of also know, in a negative way, about South Shields' recent away form, don't we? So something's got to give here, because South Shields have to keep winning, really, and keeping the pressure on Buxton.
Well, it seems strange for a team that are sat second in the table and who are, you know, still have aspirations of winning the league title, that South Shields haven't won an away game. I think it's only one of the last 10. They haven't won an away game since January at Warrington. They've lost four of the last six away. Yet you think, and you look at the home form, and you think if that was matched away from home, you'd probably have the league title sewn up by now, or not far short of it. It's something that could well hamper what they are trying to do. Now, I watched them last weekend, and they were very, very good. They controlled large parts of the game. They probably should have won a little bit more comfortably than they did. But it is this record on the road that is causing issues and holding them back. Now, you're absolutely bang on what you say about Gainsborough, who are kind of the opposite, aren't they? They're away from home, they can barely win a game, but then you look at them at home and they're strong. So this one's a really interesting game. As you say, something's got to give. Gainsborough, for me, it is a desperate situation, but maybe that desperation might get them over the line here and they may well get something. I'd like to say, trying to take my northeast hat off for a moment, that you would expect South Shields to go there and win normally, but given this run of form they're on away from home, there is just that element of doubt there. So it's going to be a really difficult one to call, this one. I'm trying my best not to sit on the fence here, but given the relative forms at home and away, I wouldn't be shocked if Gainsborough got the win here.
Now, let's just say as well that it is plausible, just backing you up here, Mark, that Gainsborough could beat South Shields this weekend. It's also plausible that Lancaster City could beat Buxton. And then it could be back on after it looking like it might be off for Matlock and for Scarborough. Firstly, Matlock. Matlock have got Morpeth this weekend. This is game of the weekend at Causeway Lane, in my humble opinion. It's huge. Morpeth now starting to creep, aren't they, towards that playoff line after looking a bit out of it with a little dip in form and being a couple of games behind everyone else. It now looks like they're going to be knocking on that door just in time for the April running. So, big game this one. The gap, incidentally, between Morpeth and Matlock is 9 points. Morpeth do have a game in hand.
I hope I'm not in danger of repeating myself here, and I apologise if I do, but the fact that Morpeth, and we're going into the last sort of 3-4 weeks of the season, talking about them as playoff contenders and genuine playoff contenders is a success in itself. And I think I said something similar last time I was on, but when you think of the start of the season they had, where they couldn't buy a win in the league, to be in with a real chance of getting in the playoffs, it's a remarkable turnaround, and credit to Craig Lynch and all of his coaching staff up there, because they've put a lot of hard work in behind the scenes. The players have really responded to them, and they deserve a lot of credit for that. The problem is, I think there's very little margin for error now. And I look at the running, they've got some tough games. You know, they've got a Witten on Tuesday night. They've got FC United at home. They go to Bamber Bridge. They've got Scarborough at home. And then they finish off with, I think, Colliery's away. So that's a real tricky run-in for me.
Saying that, if they win the next two games, including that Witten game in hand, they'd be 3 points behind Matlock, which would be incredible, given everything you've just said.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And you know, that's been positive. I'm just trying to be balanced. But it's one of those where I just think one slip and that's all but it, over. It is a tough game on Saturday at Matlock. You know, they're having a good season themselves. And again, as you mentioned, they are waiting on slip-ups from the top two. Whether that comes or not, I don't know. But Matlock will have to be at it to make sure that if those slips do come, they are in a position to take advantage. So this one, unquestionably, as you said, game of the weekend. And I'm going to call it a draw.
And Scarborough, speaking of draws, they had a draw last week against Matlock in a game, in a result which you'd say, well, that's a decent result. They both would have took that, I think, ahead of that game. It did mean, though, that Scarborough, instead of looking up, are kind of looking over the shoulder ever so slightly because of the threat of Morpeth. Whitby are knocked out of it. Bamber Bridge got a good win there. They're back involved. Scarborough just need a few more wins, I think. Then, in fact, probably 5 wins would do it. That's for sure. Scarborough this weekend looking to start that run of form away at Nantwich. Nantwich now with, I'm not even going to talk about the bottom end of the table. It's just completely and utterly insane, isn't it? With, what is that, 4 points between 13th and 20th. Ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway, thoughts on this one? Scarborough against Nantwich.
Well, as you probably know, I do a bit of work on co-commentary with Gateshead up here in the National League North, and the lad that does their lead commentary insists every time I see him that Scarborough are going to muscle their way into the title race. But they're in a really sort of weird halfway house, aren't they, where if you consider Matlock to be contenders for the title, if the top two drop points, you'd have to say the same of Scarborough because they're only a point behind Matlock. But then, as you again said, looking over their shoulders, they are in danger of slipping out of the playoffs. So they're in a really weird situation. I do think, much like Morpeth, Scarborough, for just qualifying for the playoffs, will need to win every single one of the remaining games. It's an interesting one, and I know we'll talk about it more in a moment, but playing Nantwich on Saturday, Nantwich obviously still in that ridiculous relegation mix, it's just such an unusual situation to have that many clubs with a chance of, you know, going down, however that is done. Nantwich, again, a team I saw earlier last month at South Shields, and they were very, very good for 45 minutes and then just imploded for the second 45 minutes, which probably sums up the season to an extent. But I think Scarborough win this one just because I think they've got that additional bit of quality that, and maybe it's that additional drive to try and keep those faint title hopes alive.
Now, we mentioned Morpeth having a game in hand. That game in hand taking place on Tuesday, travelling to Witten Albion. Warrington also have a game in hand. Their match on Tuesday is away at Basford United. Before that, on Saturday, Warrington will be hosting Michelover. So, Warrington could really cement themselves in the playoffs this week. They could have an okay-ish week and still maintain their position in the playoffs, or they could lose the game in hand and get caught up by the likes of Morpeth and Whitby. So, still on a bit of an edge, this one, Warrington's playoff push, but they're still fifth, and have been fifth now since, well, since last season, I think. It's remarkable, isn't it? Can they stay there?
Yeah, I think so. I think Warrington have got a good squad. I think they've strengthened well this season. They've brought in, it's amazing if most of the signings have worked and paid off. I think they'll get a win on Saturday against Michalova, who are still on the fringes of what's going on at the bottom of the table. And then all eyes go to Tuesday, which is a tough-looking trip to Basford. So it's a big 72 hours coming up for Warrington, but I think they'll kick it off with a win on Saturday.
Whitby will be taking on Basford United at the same time. Just 2 points the gap now between Whitby and Warrington, but Whitby will be looking at that game midweek because that basically will see everyone then play the same number of games, and then Whitby will know a lot more about the challenge. But the challenge this weekend for them is Basford United at home. Basford, I mean, they're nearly there with the points per game tally needed, we reckon, for that grey area in comparison to the other step three divisions. But it's a bit too close for comfort, isn't it? I'm going to suggest Basford.
It is. I think this is why, when I was saying that, you know, Warrington have got a tricky looking trip, I think that's why. It's that desperation factor. I know I keep saying that, but when you get to this point of the season, I don't think any game can be seen as a gimme. And I think that'll be the same this weekend. You know, you look at Basford and you think of where they were not so long ago in the table, and in terms of the sort of two half seasons we just had, they were always a threat. And it's kind of sad to see where it's gone. But then you also look and you think, you know, one win, and obviously they've got a game in hand on the five or six teams above them, would really pull them out of it and drop a lot of clubs back in. So it's a really tense last 3-4 weeks of the season, and it's going to be an interesting weekend. Whitby's a funny one as well, because you look either side of them, and you've already mentioned it, but Warrington and Morpeth have got games in hand on them. So they'll be tense going into Tuesday night and watching on from afar.
Mm. Bamber Bridge as well. They're hosting Witton Albion on Saturday. Bamber Bridge, they've won the playoffs for ages. I think before Christmas we were talking to Jamie about, you know, potential title race maybe. Then obviously he lost some players due to the loan system. They've dropped down, they've come back, they got beat, then they've come back again. It's not beyond all realms of possibility. 5 points the gap for Bamber Bridge. Tough game this weekend, though. A tricky one for Witton Albion. Witton Albion, 10 points behind Basford United as we enter the last six games of the season for them.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Bamber Bridge earlier in the season when they did have those lone players, and they just looked a very, very good side. And a side that I think, at the time, if they could hold on to those lone players, would really challenge for the playoffs, if not possibly a little bit more. But that's always a worry with the loan system, I think, is that you do... You know, they aren't your players, and normally at this level, you don't get them for the whole season. It might be, you know, a month, 2 months, 3 months loan, and it's just it seems to have hit them. But in terms of Witton, you know, to see them where they are, it's real sort of do or die at the moment, isn't it? And the running's not the greatest. So again, we look at again the margin for error, and I keep saying it, but the fact they've got to go to Lancaster and Warrington, that could be a really interesting one last day of the season against Basford as well. So it's a big game for both clubs. I've got to be honest, I think looking at this one, Bamber Bridge will get the win.
Okay. That then takes us to SC United, currently sitting ninth, 6 points from the playoffs, having played 37 games, so a game more than Morpeth and Warrington. SC taking on Atherton Colls this weekend. Atherton Colls in that kind of pack of teams who probably have done enough, but can't be too sure. They do have a game in hand as well, which does take place on Tuesday, as we've already touched upon. They're travelling to Ashton United. Now, keep saying about FC, that's it now. That's it for the playoffs. And they are on the same number of points now as Lancaster City, but really, given the running, the four games remaining for them are really, really tough. They have to win this home game, don't they, against Atherton Colls? It's a tricky one, though.
I think the problem is now for FC is that they're not in control of their own destiny, really. I mean, they could win every game left this season and still not make the playoffs, and it wouldn't be a surprise if they were to do that. But I think they'll get a win on Saturday. I look at Atherton in much the same as Michalova. I think one more win does it for them. in terms of, you know, that sort of 20th, the grey area, as you said. But I don't think it'll come this weekend. I think FC United will get the win, but I think the playoffs, and you know, it may not happen, they may get in there, but I think they may well just fall short in that sense, because I think they're just relying on too many people dropping points above them.
Stafford Rangers, they're taking on Grantham Town on Saturday. Stafford Rangers probably now, after Ashley United's defeat last weekend, Stafford Rangers probably now the borderline for this. They had to take on South Shields. Something had to give. The home record versus the away record of both teams. It was the strong home record of South Shields that won in the end. Stafford Rangers with a chance to regroup here with a team they would be expected to win against. And that's always tricky in this division to overcome that notion.
Yeah, I think obviously the mentality's got to be right here from Stafford. It is a game they expected to win. When you look at, you know, the season that Grantham are having, the run that they're on. I saw Stafford last week, and what impressed me was that their experienced players performed for them despite the defeat at South Shields. And I think it's down to the likes of Thomas Tonks and people like that to get in amongst those younger players and make sure the mentality is right in the dressing room before the game, make sure the preparations are right, and really get them through this game and get the win to try and get things back on track. For me, for Stafford, it's a bit about momentum. It's about making sure that they finish the season well and take that momentum into the summer to hopefully have a better season next year.
It goes to show you how close it was last weekend between that top 11. At one point, FC United was sixth, as the table stood at that time. Then when they were trailing, they were down to 11th. They've obviously finished up in ninth heading into this weekend, but that's how close it all was on Saturday and following Tuesdays as well. So still a couple of more twists and turns, but not as many as there were last week, and certainly not as many as there were potentially a month or so ago. It really is getting down to the wire now. Two final games to talk about, both Greater Manchester derbies. Stalybridge Celtic taking on Radcliffe, a Tameside derby as well, Ashton United against Hyde United. You'd imagine for Hyde a win, and that takes them up to 46 points, which would actually be 3 points behind Ashton United, which is some going. But Ashton United, you know, they've had a very strong couple of months, haven't they? What about Stalybridge Celtic against Radcliffe, Mark? Because a win for Stalybridge after last week, where they were in 20th, now they're in 13th. A win and they're up to 48. And I'm going to say it now, I think that's enough. Famous last words and all that. But for Radcliffe, a defeat would be, well, it's what we said about Basford, really. It's a bit touch and go, isn't it? But we're saying all this after I've just said about Hyde United and, you know, how positive it's been there with them getting themselves up to 43 points and the potential to 46. It's only a point behind, isn't it, for Radcliffe? But go on.
I'm very aware that whatever I say here could well be blown out the water this time next week.
Yes.
Such as the, you know, the way and the rate of change at the bottom end of the division, it's such a difficult one to sort of say, well, if, you know, if Radcliffe were to get a win, that could be it for them. They could be safe. But then you think, well, that puts them on 45. And we've already said that Stalybridge, Atherton and Mickleover are probably aren't safe on 45 just yet. But so it's a difficult one, this one. I think the greater need is from Radcliffe to win. That's probably a pretty obvious thing to say. But I just think there's nobody can take anything for granted in that bottom. Well, certainly that sort of between 13th and 20th. It's a case of you just got to win every game and hope that results elsewhere go your way, because I don't think anyone's fully safe yet. So they're two really interesting games because of that, because everyone's in there and, you know, a win will elevate yourself away from that danger zone. But I think, looking at Stalybridge, I think if they were to get a win, that would be it for them. I think anything above 45 would more than likely be safe.
Famous last words, Mark. But I pretty much said the same thing, though, a second ago, didn't I? So we'll both be wrong.
That's good.
But yeah, I mean, it's cracking stuff as we're in towards April. Big thank you, Mark, for that fixture preview. Very, very kind of you, sir. Just before you go, just a quick plug for your work. Where are you off to this weekend? And how can people follow you?
Do you know, I'll be honest, I don't know where I'm going at this weekend, because I've had a conversation with the local Sunday paper.
Mark, I had a friend who used to, his holidays, his annual holidays, he'd just take his passport, some luggage, and just go to the airport, and he'd have no idea where he was going. I like that. I respect that, Mark. That's good.
It's going to be a conversation probably on Friday afternoon, but it'll be a Northern League game. I can't tell you that because there's two big games above Northern League level that'll be covered. So obviously in the East Division, Mask play Heaven, I think it is. So that's obviously two clubs in our region. So that'll be one of the feature games for the Sunday Sun, which is the local Sunday paper up here. And then in the National League, North Gateshead play away at Brackley, which is the top two in that division, which will be covered. Neither of which game I'll do, so I'll be trawling the Northern League fixture list and then deciding where to go.
Well, good luck, Mark. How can people follow you on Twitter, just before you go?
Yep, I'm at @MockCruthers_, covering everything in the Northeast non-league-wise and having a dalliance in above as well.
Excellent stuff. Well, Mark, have a lovely weekend and we'll catch up in a month or so's time when we get really down to what's happening in this league table. See you soon.
See you.
And a big thank you to Mark Carruthers for joining us on this week's show. But that's it for this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. A big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. Remember, for the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you all make sure you all have a lovely and safe weekend. Bye-bye.